Welcome to the Draft Doctors Podcast, your home of weekly draft content. Now here's Steve, Jono, Cam, and the Statesman.
G'day everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Draft Doctors. I'm your host, Stevie Fizz. Gather round's finally over. That's right, everyone went to South Australia and had a good time, just like you always do in South Australia. It's a fantastic place, so obviously they're going to do that a few more times. Why wouldn't we have a few more gather rounds when there's 24 teams? That's what we need. And it does tie in well with West Coast Eagles potentially requesting a priority pick at the end of the season. That is the talk, the drum, the word on the street. I can't imagine teams, the gap between good and bad is going to get any closer with more teams. So we can all look forward to that. And the priority pick, I mean, it's a can of worms the AFL opened a long time ago, just like the academy picks, just like father-son picks. And if you listen to this show, you know, I hate them all. Hate them all. They shouldn't exist. I think that's, you know, the AFL had a chance to draw the hard line, make a decision, and instead of making the decision where to cut it off, it's just going to be added to and added to. It's someone will be angry, we'll appease them with an extra pick. Someone will be angry, we'll appease them with something else. And really, the answer should just be get rid of everything. I know there's the romantics out there that like the father-son thing, and the supporters of the northern side that say we can't draw a dick, but surely the academies have been set up long enough that these players, maybe they have a go-home factor. I just think everything like that's cultural, man. I just think that sort of stuff's cultural. You look at how Brisbane have turned it around from being a wasteland into being a bit of a force. It's all cyclical. And it sort of gets back to the football department. So I think it just needs to be uncompromised, especially the first round at the very least, for everyone's sake. I think the worst part is there's no compensation for the teams that miss out. Like when Gold Coast drafted Nick Daicos or bid on him, didn't get him, what was the compensation? There was none. And obviously everyone else missed out with Jed Walter and so forth. So it's, get rid of it. Be professional. I can't. And the priority picks, man. Come on, man. I know Gold Coast had them, and we shouldn't have had them. Imagine just like, yeah, we're gonna give these guys more stuff because they're bad. You know, how about it's a competition? There's always going to be bad teams. Let them sort it out. Anyway, we're here to talk fantasy football, the waivers podcast, and it's a juicy, juicy waiver wire, in my opinion. If you're new to the show, please leave. Please leave. We don't want you here if you're new to the show. But if you can stick it through this bit, you will know we use players who have under 40% ownership on the AFL fantasy site. And it sort of covers if you're into a 5-7-1-5 on-field structure with about 10 teams. So these players are generally going to be available in those leagues. If you're in a shallower league, there'll probably be better options. If you're in a deeper league, you send your complaints through anyway, so we'll get to you. So, and there's something for everyone, except for rucksmen. There's never a ruck. Midfielders, the number one pro waiver wire pick has to be Jake Soligo, 23% owned midfielder for the Crows. Looked amazing. Heaps of contested ball. And just took the game on, landed some kicks, gave that midfield a bit of run and drive, which they sorely lack. So he had a heap of CBAs after having a little bit of an interrupted preseason and sort of being on the fringes of the midfield, I guess you'd say, last year. So he's just an absolute laydown mazare. I can't imagine they're going to go away from him in any way, shape or form. Think Jeremy Sharp is an interesting one at 30% ownership. He's been solid without being spectacular this week. He had a big ton. But does have Port Adelaide next week. Now, there were some okay wing scores against Port Adelaide, but it traditionally hasn't been a great team for wings to play against. But after Port Adelaide, he does have West Coast, the Bulldogs, and Richmond. So they're pretty good matchups for Jeremy Sharp. Even if you don't want to play him this week, I think there's some nice matchups pretty soon afterwards. Jack Bowes, defender, 18% owned, had 62% of the CBAs for Geelong, have North Melbourne at GMHBA Stadium. I imagine what they'll probably rest one of the old boys against North Melbourne. So, and Jack Bowes sort of had that interrupted preseason, was sub. I can only imagine they'll give him another full game, sort of wheeling and dealing everywhere. So look for him as a good option. Jacob Wiedering, 34% ownership, defender for Carlton. Another good game, strong performance. Forwards, you got the Tomahawk. It's probably more of a stream than anything, but 22% owned. Again, North Melbourne at GMHBA. He could be one they look to give a rest to, but I don't think anyone is breathing down his neck in the tall forward stakes. Geelong, I think there is a guy who's okay, but I think he's injured at the minute. So certainly Tomahawk's an option. Jack Graham, another forward, 18% owned. Got some mid-time this week in his first game back. So Jack Graham, pretty tidy option. I think who are they playing? They're playing West Coast, so bit of an option there. Brody Kemp, another defender, 20% owned. He's been solid for Carlton. Also have Mark Keane, who we mentioned last week for the deep leagues. His ownership is up to 17% with his 11 intercept game, wheeling and dealing off the halfback for the Crows. And really, it's interesting. You know, I was on the Twitters this week and people were bagging out Matt Crouch. And Matt Crouch is, I would have thought, he's an interesting player. I think he does some things not well, but he's doing a lot of things really well. I just look at that team and they don't really have much coming off the half back that's very dangerous, especially with Miller out. And the forwards are just getting crushed this year. So, but anyway, Mark Keane looks to be a pretty decent option. And a boy from your mind and our Gold Coast Sun, Sam Closey, debuted 3% ownership, 95 against the Giants. Pretty crazy. Playing the Hawks this week, so obviously our Suns will get the chockies there, but he's a defender. And we're looking at defenders against Richmond, so pretty tough this week with West Coast. Duggan and Jeremy McGovern should have a bit of a field day there, but and obviously they're all owned everywhere, but you might look at a Hoff or Cole or something like that, not sure. What else do we want to talk about? Who got a bit of mid-time this week? So Tom Sparrow got a bit more mid-time than usual. Again, he just doesn't put a fantasy score on the board. So he's an interesting one. He might be at, you know, good 60 floor, but just doesn't seem to crack that 85 ceiling very often. McKercher, a bit of mid-time, 50% CBAs. Isaac Rankin had a bit. Jai Caldwell had a massive bump. Essendon were pretty interesting. They had a pretty decent spread, I guess you'd say, through the midfield against Port Adelaide. They did get pumped, but Caldwell, I think, is a solid player. Put a decent fantasy score on the board as well. So we'll see what happens there. Caldwell certainly has a bit of a defensive side to his game as well, so we'll see. Tommy Papley, Taylor Adams' inclusion, saw his lowest CBA attendance of the year. Against West Coast, you would have earmarked him for a pretty good score, but 9 clangers wasn't Tom Papley's day. You would have been pretty disappointed if you're an owner, I'm sure, because you would have been rostering him. And Tom Atkins, his lowest attendance of the year, coming off the sub game the week before, he's got to be getting close to just a cold drop at this point. You know, he had a pretty good finish to the end of last year. If you took him in drafts, you were hoping that that was going to be the new norm, but it just hasn't sort of panned out, and you're not too far. We'll talk about some players coming back soon, but you obviously got Danger probably back next week, and Guthrie a month probably, but they're just getting these kids games, and they're winning with these guys, so I'd be pretty scared if I was a Tom Atkins owner. Maybe they love him and he's got a role off the bench or something like that, but his fantasy game's non-existent. We'll put it that way. A few guys, I'm not sitting here saying you should sell these players, but I think you want to start planning around some returning players. And so we've got some big names who are coming back, and they're going to disrupt probably midfield and maybe halfback mixes. So we've got Luke Parker. He will probably be returning in the very near future. You saw with Tom Papley. Obviously, Taylor Adams is a midfield player, although Taylor Adams didn't get a massive chunk of mid-time. But I can only imagine Luke Parker's going to be back in there. It's hard to say who gets left out of that team. Maybe looking at a James Jordan. It's an interesting spot, man. It's really interesting. They've got a lot of guys there who are good in the midfield, who are good forward. Luke Parker certainly fits that bill. So we'll see what happens there. But I'm not selling Chad Warner. I'm not selling Isaac Heaney. I don't know, man, but I'd just be prepared. That's all I'm saying. Sam Walsh is probably coming back in the near future to Carlton. Jack Carroll has been attending quite a lot of CBAs, even though he hasn't been putting the fantasy score on the board. You can only imagine he's the one to make the easy roll out of there for Sam Walsh. Heath Chapman should not be far away for the Dockers. So maybe if you've got James Ash, who we no doubt have questions about since you all picked him up and you all love him, Heath Chapman's an interesting player. Not that they play the same role, mind you, but it's just something to be mindful of. He's probably better than the guys who'll replace. Sean Darcy, also very near to return. So if you're a Luke Jackson owner, and it's interesting because we haven't heard much about this, but he should be back soon. So maybe if you're a Luke Jackson owner, everyone's forgotten about Sean Darcy. Maybe you can extract max value. Or maybe you're just happy to roll the dice that he'll keep scoring fine. They've got some great matchups coming for the ruck department. So maybe if he gets 40% time in there, maybe they nurse Darcy along with a bit more forward time than we're used to. He can still perform. So, I'm not saying sell, but I'm just plan. Will Day's about a month away. Not that any of the you give a shit about Hawthorn midfielders at this point. And like I mentioned before, Danger and Guthrie, both of them, well, Danger's probably back next week and Guthrie probably a month away. And Sam Powell Pepper can come back. So we'll see what happens there. But obviously there's a lot of, people saying they're struggling with their forward lines. Maybe they're not getting the right streams. He is someone who you can use from time to time. Of course, check out the website, articles dropping during the week from Faz and Nick. They're both crushing it, doing a great job as usual. He's got his hits and his misses, and Nick's doing some great stuff on the trades article, really having a good year. The boys, okay, let's get into question time from the Twitters. Draft Doctors, Customer Help, Intern, how many games of footy in one weekend is too many? I'm about to watch our Mighty Suns, which will be my fifth game live so far. Yeah, one. One is too many, man. I don't want to, I hate, I know people love watching as many games of footy as they can. I hate how the games are structured so you can watch all of them. I want, this is me personally. I know I'm different. I'm weird. I want a Friday night game. I want a Saturday night game. I want one Sunday game. And I want the rest at 2:30 on a Saturday afternoon. I want six games at once. That's how I want it. I don't want these, game after game after. I don't want 10 hours on a Sunday. Whatever. Good luck. I know everyone else does. I'm different, but less is more sometimes. CHXZ, Cherry to a midfielder. Wait a minute. This is a salary cap question. What? Is it? Cherry to a midfielder. I already have Grundy, so originally drafted him to cover for his buy. Okay, draft. But he has just been offered Taranto for Cherry. If I wait until round six, I'm worried he might be out of my range if he goes big and Cherry doesn't. Or should I even consider trading Grundy? Yeah, I'd be okay with trading Cherry. Yeah, you don't want points on the bench. That's what you don't want. Ninja Spoon, any DPP candidates to waiver stash in a deeper league? I will say this. I would go to Twitter and I would find Jaden Papowski. He tweets out early in the week, or he has done the last few weeks, DPP candidates to watch. So he's got a list of 50, 60 blokes. to watch. So I'd do that. That's going to be better than anything I can give you. Cuzzy, come on, mate. Fuck the priority pick chat. No club deserve them. Well, that's what I'm saying, man. That's what I'm saying. We've got to get rid of it. And I think that's the general consensus. Joel, how many victory laps are acceptable after getting Komen off free agency? 460 pick sicko draft. Yeah, that is sick, Joel. But man, you can run forever. You can do the ultra marathon. Speaking of which, I think I will start my, after putting a few weeks of runs together, I think in the next couple of weeks, I will start another marathon block. I know people have been with me on this journey for 5 years, broken back and everything. We'll give it one more crack. I think I miss the structure. I miss having my my plan and knowing what I'm doing. And obviously you get the endorphins from the exercise, but I also miss the structure. I like knowing I'm going to run. Might not always enjoy it, but I like it. Stake, will Soldo get DPP? Would that make him a top 30 forward? I can't imagine Soldo's getting DPP. I wouldn't have thought so. No, there's no chance. 80% CBA, 80, 87. No, he's not getting it. If he got it, yes, he would be a top 30 forward. Michael, any forward trade targets worth buying low? I reckon, I would have said before today, Toby Green, but after today, he's probably a good sell high. I reckon, I still think I'd look at Adelaide. I think we've seen, you know, if you look at the teams where things have gone wrong, you know, they had the expectation that they'd be in the hunt for a finals berth and maybe beyond that this year. And things haven't quite worked out for them so far, even though I think they've had a tougher draw than people are giving them credit for. So I still think like an Isaac Rankin's a bit unders. Josh Rochelle, he looked good in that last quarter, although he kind of fucked up a bit. He's an interesting one. Buy low forwards. It's a good question. I mean, the obvious answer is the Western Bulldogs guys. Like, McRae and Daniel, it's just not happening, man. It's just not happening. Riley Sanders is playing too good. What you could say, though, is you could offer up on Jack McRae, because the owners will want to bail out, right? You could offer up and hope that Sanders gets tired or Treloar gets injured. That's a play. I mean, they're going to be, that's the cheapest they'll ever be. So that's an option. I think Ben Ainsworth is an interesting buy low. Our Suns have some pretty winnable matchups, I think you could say, over the next month. It's kind of interesting. We've got Hawthorn, so winnable, then Sydney, obviously a tough matchup there. Then West Coast, winnable, Brisbane, tough matchup, and North Melbourne. So there's a few good matchups there. And obviously we get North Melbourne twice, we get West Coast twice. So it's you know, it's an interesting player. I think he's better than he's been for his output, I'll put it that way. Other players, yeah, it's tough in them forward streets. You're really buying someone who's tough to roster at this point. Maybe you're lucky and you can snag a Jack Lukosius who's moved to defense. But I think you're going to be struggling. They're either playing bad or you might not want them. Maybe someone wants to sell up on Max King, who's probably getting a little bit more up the ground. I think I saw that on Twitter. People are suggesting that. So you could have a crack at that. We'll keep on moving, though. I could sit there and look at forward options all night. The Smith Dog, more like won't Powell. Oh, so he says, will Powell. Why? More like won't Powell. Am I right? Yeah, and I mean, look what's happened, right? Like, I have Powell everywhere. We like Powell. And then, you know, change happens. And I think that's sort of, Hardwick is looking at the young guys. They're seeing what's happening. They've moved Flanders into defense this week. Lukosius went back the match prior. That's going to cut into Powell shares, man. That's going to cut into PowerShell. And Mac Andrew just was absolutely lights out, intercepting absolutely everything. It's bad news for Willpower. Really bad. I'd be trying to bail out at this point. They are, you can see what they want to do. They want to get weapons off the halfback line. They didn't have them on their, you know, they had them on the list, but they weren't playing in those positions. That's why they tried out Sexton. That's why they've gone back to Lukosius. They're trying out Flanders. These sort of things will happen. And it's sort of like I look at with Adelaide. I think they'll look at things in their midfield. And I think even Schoenberg's maybe a month away there. So, yeah, it's tough. Smith Dog also, I was cursing you guys, Ari Brayshaw. Now I'm open to conceding defeat. Play the man in the guts. He's actually been really mostly inside. There was one week where he was at like 50% CBAs. That was against North Melbourne. So I think Brayshaw's fine. Major, my four, although to be fair, he's probably down a little bit, but we're still only four games in. It's still a small sample size. Major, my forward line is decimated. Which team should I stream against other than West Coast, North, Tigers? What types of forwards? Key, high half forwards, pockets. Okay, so we, yeah, it's a great question, and who you stream against. So I would suggest to everyone, you want to go to DFS Australia, and I used to keep my own matchup data. I think they do a great job at the DFS Australia website. And you just click on AFL on the tab, go down defense versus position, so you can look at season long, you can look at DVP matchup, defense, and it'll break down positions. If you go to the DVP matchup one, it will even list the players who and how they register in each position. So you got key forwards, general forwards, inside mids, rucks, wing defense, general defenders, and designated kicks. And it'll give you an idea of who to stream against these options. Keep in mind, so it will list, so you've got key forwards here, and the best matchups is against Gold Coast Suns. It's plus 20. Keep in mind, key and general forwards are coming from a low base, right? So even though that might be one of the best matchups on the charts, inside mids are always going to score more. So if you can get a forward who's playing midfield, it's going to be better than key forward or general forward. So we like, so they've got at the minute Essendon, Gold Coast, and West Coast are great key forward matchups, general forwards, West Coast, Port Adelaide, and Hawthorn. So just, it's not, bad teams are always bad. Yes, that's kind of the way it is, but there's also some other teams like Collingwood. General forwards are scoring against them. You're watching Blake Hardwick just absolutely destroy them. Well, he's not destroying them because they're not going to win, but he's kicked four goals, lost by a point. I mean, he's been a big part of that. Who are their other goal scorers? Dylan Moore's kicked three. Jack Ginnivan's kicked two. So there you go, right? Like, they're all small forwards, and they've just contributed 9 goals, right? So that's not that we want to rely on goals, but it is something when you're streaming forwards, you're going to look for that option. Continuing on, James Murray, I'm stacked with mids. Josh Kelly and Tirano on the bench. Should I trade them for one decent forward or keep them as emergencies? I'd trade one of them. And if it was me, I would trade Josh Kelly. His value should be as high as it will ever be. Let's think about who GWS have played so far. They have played Collingwood in round one. Who they? And Josh Kelly's average is really nice as well, but he's kicked a goal in every game. They've played Collingwood, North Melbourne, West Coast, and Gold Coast. Not quite murderer's row, okay? So I think you can probably extract some pretty reasonable value for Josh Kelly, and maybe your league mates will just look at the score and not consider who the opponents have been. Okay, so, and that's also when you're trying to buy forwards, you know, have a look at who these guys have played. You know, have they had bad matchups? Were the conditions wet? What's going on there? So think about these things. We're dealing with small enough sample sizes that bad matchups will have crushed people. Richie, I just acquired Hump Daddy for Titch in Keepers. feel dirty doing it as I now have Anderson, Rau, Flanders and Hump. Should I just collect the best 22? How much is too much? The Freo fan in my league had 10 Dockers at one point. I'm currently first with Hawks and Eagles next. Yeah, I think it's a tough team, man, because I think they're all going to sort of swap around, except, well, maybe Anderson and Rau. Not so much. I'm not a huge fan on Hump Daddy for fantasy, to be honest. We'll see in the long term. AFL Fantasy Draft Tool. Time to put James Jordan and Jade Gresham in the bin. I think you can bin James Jordan. Jade Gresham, probably matchup dependent, but I have no beef binning him. In fact, I have. Angus Heasley, would you trade or hold Walsh on his return? If you drafted Walsh and you have him, maybe. I don't know. I'd probably hold him. If you drafted him and you knew you were doing this, maybe you can look to, if you've mined some gold off the waiver wire, maybe you can look to flip him. Yeah, it's a good question. If you can get value, if a team's desperate for mids, go for it. But I probably wouldn't desperately unload him. Steve, can you check on the bloke who drafts Sexton early? Also, what to do as a Daniel owner? As a Daniel owner, you got to hold, man. I think you got to hold. It's tough. Just put him on the bench. Wait for it to come good. Hope it comes good. BP, is Newman a good buy low, or is he regressing this year? I can get around Newman. People don't like him, but I think he's kind of okay. I know other guys are scoring as well, but I can live with Newman off a couple of bad scores. North and Freo, who they've just played, are they? Let's just bring it up. Freo and neutral. North are poor. Said for designated kick. So, they have Adelaide this week. So I'm not. Yeah, I think he's okay, man. I think he's okay. They might have some tough matchups, but I think he can do it. Depends on your team situation. Not that I'm really trying to buy defenders. I think there's, you know, we just mentioned like five you can pull off waivers pretty easily who are all handy. So I'm not sure I'm giving up solid assets, but you can if you want. Jordan, do I drop McRae or hold out? Copped his trash on field this week. Yeah, just put him on the bench until it works around, man. You can't drop him. I think you could float an offer. Some people think he's washed, so I don't know. It's a tough one, man. I don't think you can drop him just yet. Who are you dropping him for? Like Jack Graham? That's the problem. Like you're dropping him for. If you're dropping him, you're dropping him to stream. And I feel like unless you're in a 3-forward line league, you're probably already streaming. So easy peasy. Would you stick fat with Rochelle or take a punt on Komen? Komen is interesting. But I'm sticking with Rochelle for now. What have they got coming up, the old Crowies? Oh, that's an interesting question. Do they have a... So they got Carlton. Oof, tough. Then Essendon. Then not. Man, they got a rough early part of the draw. Then Port. Then Brisbane. Jesus. Even North's in Hobart. That's tough. Collingwood at the G. Man, they got a brutal start. Now they got West Coast at home. Then they got round 11, 12, 13. Nice for them. But, man, tough in them streets early days. Tough for Crows fans. I still stick with Rochelle for now. Ed Galluccio, if West Coast win a game before Adelaide this year, should the Crows get a priority pick or just fold? Man, the Crows should have folded years ago. Sam, I picked up James Ash off waivers 3 weeks ago. Do I hold or trade him? Team is pretty set and he's more of a loop option for me. If you can get something for James Ash, like I've been saying for the last few weeks, I would do that. Now, what is it going to be? Maybe he's more valuable to you. Maybe you can put him in a package with a 2-for-1 and buy up to someone. Like if you got James Ash and like, who's like a defender who's completely sellable at this point. Let's have a look. And if you got him and Nick Blakey or him and Nick Newman, could you go get Oliver? Like, the Oliver owner's going to be screaming right now. I'd do that sort of move, man. That's what I'd be looking to do. Always want the best player in the trade. House, talk to me about Caleb Daniel. Is he a wait or put him on the heap? Single season, 3-4-1-4-5. Is that three defenders, four mids, one ruck, four forwards? Interesting setup. I hold out. I really do. I'm stubborn. I hold out. And just even if you want to park him on the bench and stream forwards, like you can stream your Tomahawk, you can stream your Jack Graham, do that sort of thing. I'd do that. I wouldn't be selling just yet. Pack and send. Forwards are a shit show. Is it worth trading into a 70-plus forward given they'll likely be overpriced and they seem inconsistent? We have very limited waivers, so streaming is a challenge. Yes. I mean, it's tough to say. Don't know your league structure. Don't know what you're planning to give up. You know, obviously we're always trying to buy low and sell high. Yeah, you can absolutely do that. But, I mean, people are going to go, hey, I need my forwards. So finding that value is going to be really interesting. I'm always looking to trade. I'm looking to trade a defender at this point in time. So if you can trade an 80 averaging defender for a 70 forward, go nuts, man. Go nuts. Anyway, that's going to wrap it up for another episode of The Draft Doctors. Thanks for sticking with us. Check out the articles on the website. Hope you're getting a bit out of this. I know a lot of people messaged me saying they picked up Marquine last week, which is just unbelievable to me. He's like a 1% defender for the Crows. So that was heartwarming. That was heartwarming. It makes my efforts in the Goals Only Listener League, where I drafted Blake Hardwick in the second round because he was going to play forward. And he hasn't until this week, and I have him on the bench, and he's kicked four snags. And would have been the difference. Would have been the difference. That's tough in them Goals Only League streets. Anyway, we'll see you next week, guys.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.